Well, we're on part 7 of the Holy Spirit, and we're just getting started. And we're moving in to the gifts of the Spirit. And what we're going to do as we move into the gifts of the Spirit, for a lot of people, that this is brand new to them. And so again, we're going to be starting out very simple and then moving into it. I'm going to read a scripture here. Let's pray. Let's pray this. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the presence of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and his willingness to move by compassion, the compassion of Christ in our life, to do things in our life that are divine, things that we can't do on our own, things that have taken years of us trying to get past. You can bring us past in a now moment. And Father, we just invite the Holy Spirit now in our midst, that we would have his ears to hear, his eyes to see, and that we would have hearts to receive 100-fold through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, there's something that Jesus said that it's in red, that a lot of times we read it and just go right by it. Churches usually don't talk about it, because it's one of those things, again, that takes faith. And in John 14, verse 12, it says, most assuredly, that, and put it in our lingo, listen up, I'm not lying to you. This is the truth. Jesus is saying, this is the truth. The Son of God is saying, this is the truth. So I'm about to say something that's going to be hard to believe. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. So do you believe in Jesus today? Do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Yes. Then you qualify to do the works that he did, and even greater works than these you will do, because he has went to the Father. So do you qualify to do the works of Jesus? Yes. This morning, you qualify to do the works of Jesus. But look, it's through belief in him. It's not separate from Jesus. It's with Jesus. And how do we work with Jesus? Through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that he worked miraculous miracles through. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 11, we looked at this over the last couple weeks. And it says, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestations means the showing, the revealing, right? The Holy Spirit reveals, he shows to us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's for our profit. It's for the profit of all. It's for your profit. It's for the profit of the whole congregation. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So how do the gifts of the Spirit operate? They operate as he wills. So it's you coming in to relationship with Holy Spirit and being obedient to what the Holy Spirit is doing in you, is wanting to do in you and through you. There are things that God wants to do within a body of believers, within the church, that he can't do. I know that sounds unbelievable, that God can't do something, but God has chosen. I don't know why, it seems foolish to me, but I don't know everything. He has chosen to limit himself to the body of Christ within the church, within the world. God has chosen to work through us. So when we don't allow Holy Spirit to move through us, we limit God. We limit the Holy One from moving in our lives and in our churches. And we don't receive the profit that he wants to manifest in our midst. The gifts of the Holy Spirit cannot be earned. You know, you might hear people say, well, I do 3 40-day fasts a year. I've heard people say that. And that's why I got this knowledge and stuff. No. You might have this ability and stuff because of the presence of God being, you fasted your flesh so you are obedient to the presence of God, obedient to the Holy Spirit in your life. You've disciplined your flesh so you can walk in the Spirit. But that's not why you can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. That's not why you have revelation. You have revelation because of God's grace and God's Spirit moving through you. If that's the Holy Spirit of God was taken away from you, you wouldn't be anything, right? So don't get in that rat race of trying to earn God's ability in your life. But another thing is you can't be slothful. There is godly works. And this is something we teach here sometimes. There's godly works, but godly works come from a relationship with God, not to get a relationship with God. It comes from a place of who you are. You know, prayer. Do you have to pray? No, you don't have to pray. But some people say, well, you got to pray. But you don't have to pray. And some people say, I'm forcing myself to pray. And it becomes a religious work, right? Do you know what prayer really is? Relationship. If you had a relationship, a friend, someone that you love, wouldn't you talk to them? And prayer no longer becomes a burden. See, godly works are supposed to be joyful, not a burden. Right? And when they become a burden, that's a good sign that you're doing it in your own strength, your own ability. They are called gifts to reveal that there is only one way to obtain them. They are given to the church by God. The gifts of the Spirit are divine communications transmitted from the Holy Trinity through the channel of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth. So the body of Christ, that's the we see the whole Trinity working here. God wants to move within the body of Christ through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And these are divine communications. This is God trying to communicate to the earth, trying to manifest himself to the earth. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. We just read them in 1 Corinthians. 9 gifts of the Spirit, 3 categories, 1 Spirit. 9 gifts, 3 categories, 1 Spirit. All of these gifts are done through the same Spirit. So you can't look at one person that's being moved or used by God in one way and say, well, I don't move in that way, so I must not have the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is moving through you, maybe through a different gift, a different way. But it's the same Holy Spirit. We're one body, members individually, but we come together as one to make a healthy body in the earth. These 3 categories. The first one is revelation gifts. And the 3 gifts that fall under the revelation gifts is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. We will go through each one of these individually. We will go through these and give a biblical definition of each one of these gifts individually. But today, this is just a foundation. So the revelation gifts are defined this way. The infinite God of the universe is revealing his truth to man. There is a revelation from heaven of certain facts that man could not know by way of his physical senses. It would have to be a miracle. Man would have no way of knowing except by divine revelation. So if you're operating in a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or a discerning of spirits, you are receiving divine revelation from God. You are receiving knowledge from God that there's no way that you could receive it or know it unless God told you. And that's what we've seen last week when Ben said he had someone, felt like someone had an issue with their shoulder. There's no way he could have known that. So that was a gift of knowledge operating in him. And what happens, and what you're going to see, is that these gifts, they cross. They merge together to do a complete work in the body. And then there's the gift of healings that was going to follow up that word of knowledge. You see that? I just want you guys, the reason why we want these definitions and why we're taking this slow and starting a foundation is because I want you to be able to distinguish that this isn't me that's doing this. Because I've seen this in the Bible, and this is exactly what's happening in me right now. You know what I'm saying? So you can cooperate with the Holy Spirit, because you'll talk yourself out of being used by God 9 times out of 10. In Matthew 16:16 and 17, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." This was a divine revelation that Peter had of who Jesus Christ was. And Jesus says, there's no way anyone could have told you this information. The only way that you could have received this information was by divine revelation from God. And you know what this means? That means that divine revelation has come to each one of you. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it wasn't because the world convinced you that Jesus Christ is a Savior. I'm talking about not just an intellectual. I'm talking about you experienced Jesus Christ. You were born again. There was something in there. Maybe you couldn't even explain it. I don't know why I believe. I just believe. This is true. I don't have all the answers, but I just know this is true. That is a divine revelation from on high. The Holy Spirit is revealing to you Jesus. So whether you know it or not, you've already been used by the Holy Spirit. You've always received divine revelation from heaven. Have you ever read your Bible and all of a sudden the words just pop out of the page and you said, "I've never seen this before." And you have insight into God. That's divine revelation. You didn't get that through intellectualism. See, that's what the problem with theologians and people that's went to seminary. That's the problem with people. They get so frustrated with the old farmer that gets nuked by God and starts a church and has all this divine revelation, and God's moving him mightily, and he can preach the roof off the building. And they get so frustrated because they went to school. They have all this information, but no one shows up to hear them talk. People fall asleep while they're talking. It's because there's a difference between when the Holy Spirit is bringing divine revelation and the power of God through the words of a man or just someone repeating what they read in a book. There's a huge difference. So never limit the Holy Spirit from operating in your life. If you feel like, "Man, God's telling me to say this to this person, but who am I? I don't know that much about the Bible." Who are you anyways? Right? There's more people quitting the pastoring that has 8 years of college than going into the pastoring. So it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. If it's apart from the Holy Spirit, it's going to fail. Do you understand that? We must trust the Holy Spirit. Amen. Power or energy, this is another category of the three categories. And in this category, the gift of faith is in this category. The gifts of healing, the gifts of healings, that's the only one that's plural. We'll talk about that later. And the working of miracles fall into this category. And here's a definition of power or the energy gifts. God's ability to do mighty things. It says, God imparts his own divine powers and abilities to man. The gifts of power involve supernatural ability and energy that a man does not naturally possess. There's some crazy things that you can read in the Bible. You know, Elijah outran a chariot, a horse and chariot. This guy, Samson, in Judges chapter 14:5-6, so Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn a young goat. I don't know about you, but I've never tore a young goat in half either. But I think they meant like as a butchering a young goat. But came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Samson was a man that he was a protector of Israel, and the Spirit of God would come upon him, and he had mighty strength. And see, right now in your mind, you're thinking, well, he was probably some big, bound muscle guy. No! He probably looked like Woody Allen. Because they wanted to know, remember the Philistines wanted to know the source of his strength. If he was some big muscle-bound guy, why would they want to know what the source of his strength was? They were trying to figure out what the source of his strength was. And it says when the Spirit of God came on him, he became strong. That's amazing. And that's something that the Lord can do that in this day and age. And there's miracles that happen that you don't hear about in church. There are mighty moves of God, mighty things that God is doing in the earth and has done and is doing in the earth and will do, that we are too timid to talk about, because if we start talking about it, then people are going to say, well, aren't we doing it? We'll be held responsible for it. Well, I want to push for it. Right? Don't you? Don't you want to see God move in your life? Amen. The third category is the inspiration gifts. And in this falls prophecy, gifts of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, and we'll get to this later as we study tongues, interpretation of tongues, but this is a body gift. All these gifts are in the body. They're not personal gifts. There is a prayer language. There is the gift of tongues that is for an individual. We'll talk about that. But these particular gifts are to edify the body. Inspirational gifts. In the gifts of inspiration, God brings his anointing and his blessing to the church. These gifts have to do with corporate worship, not with personal worship. The chief end of inspirational gifts is that the church may receive edification, exhortation, and comfort from the Trinity through the Holy Spirit. I want to restate this. When you prophesy, is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. When you have a tongue and an interpretation of tongue, it should always be for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Right? So many times we see people trying to imitate Old Testament prophets. Thus says the Lord, if you don't change your wicked ways, he's going to bring destruction upon you. Is that edification, exhortation, or comfort? No, it's not. Jesus has already bore the curse, right? Now, what happens if the Holy Spirit does reveal something to you reveal something that someone's going through and it doesn't sound very edification, exhortation, or comfort? They're revealing it to you so you can take that truth and speak into their life in a way that's edifying, that's exhorting and comforting. Speaking the truth of who Jesus is in their life and who they are in Jesus. You never speak to who they're imitating in the flesh or in the world. You speak to who they are in Christ, right? So I'll tell you right now, if you want to get shut down quick, you come up here like an Old Testament prophet and bring condemnation and guilt and destruction upon people. We can't have that here, because Jesus has won the victory for us, right? We bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to individuals. In 1 Corinthians, we see this all played out here. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. We're not going to get into this real deep today. We're just going, like I said, this is just foundational. Pursue love. See, right off the bat, if you're pursuing love, it's always going to lead to comfort, edification, exhortation. And desire spiritual gifts. There he tells us again. We read this in chapter 12. Right? 12:31. To earnestly desire the best gifts, he says. So here he says, we're to desire the gifts. As a believer, you should be desiring the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be operated in your life. Desire the gifts through pursuing love, consuming godly compassion, charity, God's charity. And charity doesn't mean just an institution that does benevolence gifts. Charity means love with no strings attached. That's what charity is. Love with no strings attached. Love not expecting anything back. We're supposed to be motivated by the God's kind of love, agape love, love with no strings attached. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. There's a lot, I can't get into it. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So the inspiration gifts, all the inspirational gifts are right here in these scriptures. They're listed, and he's explaining how it's supposed to operate in the church. And we're not going to get into all this right now. But what he's saying is that it's all for edification. It's all for exhortation. It's all for comfort to the body. Amen? Amen. And I just want to touch base here. Something, we're going to kind of switch gears here. There's the three groups of the Holy Spirit, but I just want to switch gears because there's something that we really have to tackle as we get into these gifts, because we're going to look at how Jesus operated in these gifts. And right away, people rationalize, well, yeah, but that was Jesus. That was God. And if you remember the very first scripture we read, God, Jesus, said, the works that I do, and even greater works shall you do, because I go to the Father. So whenever that comes up, well, yeah, but that was Jesus. Right away, you should think, well, that's not of God what just came up. That excuse doesn't work, doesn't fly. Because we have to understand something. You know, it says that anyone that doesn't say that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is of Antichrist. Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and we don't understand. We don't understand the magnitude of that. That God, divine God, humbled himself and for all eternity is a man. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father as a resurrected man. We don't understand the unity, the union that we have with God, that humanity has become one with the Trinity because of what Jesus Christ was willing to do. Everything that Jesus Christ did was as a man. In Galatians 4:4-7, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. He had to become a man and be born under the law to redeem man that was under the law. Do you understand that? He didn't do it as God. He did it as man. I know you didn't teach you this in Sunday school. Jesus Christ, everything that Jesus Christ did, he did as a man. He redeemed mankind as a man. He was born of a woman. that we might receive the adoptions as sons, and because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if the Son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Humanity, our sons, God is our Father through Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ became as a man when the fullness of time had come. He came and was born and was put under the same limitations that we had. Jesus Christ hungered. He got hungry, right? He sent his disciples to go get food, right? He was worried about the people that came to listen to him talk, about them getting fed. And he says, get some of our food and give it to them. Right? He hungered. He sweat. He grew weary and tired. He thirsted. He sat at the well and asked for a drink of water. He stunk. Right? He was a man. He had to relieve. If he ate, he had to relieve himself. If he drank, he had to relieve himself. He was a man. That's why they had such a hard time accepting him as God, is because he was just like everyone else. Amen. The only thing that distinguished him from everyone else is these mighty works that he did. And they said, what Nicodemus said, we know that you are from God, for no one can do the mighty works that you do unless least God is with them. God was with him through the Holy Spirit, right? And before people were even born again, because of the authority of who they were and the authority that we have in the earth, he sent the 12 out, he sent the 72 out, they cast out demons, they healed the sick, they raised the dead, and that was before people were even born again. Everything that Jesus did as a man. The miracles of Jesus. There will be a temptation when we look at the miraculous works of Jesus. That is, everything that Jesus did was because he was God. You will be tempted. You are be tempted to think that, well, Jesus could do those things because he was God. Yes, he was God, but he emptied himself of that and became a man. If you believe this, you'll be 100% wrong. If you believe that Jesus did everything because he was God, you'll be 100% wrong. We got to renew our minds to what Jesus did. Jesus is our perfect example. Jesus' amazing ministry is a perfect example of the ministry that functioned within the framework of the gifts of the Spirit. Everything that Jesus did, he did through the Spirit of God. He did no mighty works, the Bible says, until he was baptized in water, and as he came out, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then his ministry started. Then he turned water into wine, representing the new covenant of joy and celebration in Jesus. The old covenant, the first wine that was served, it was the worst wine, and the second wine, while people were already drunk, was the good wine. And they said, usually they serve the good wine first, and then when people are well drunk, they serve the bad wine. And that's all symbolism to the old covenant and the new covenant. The new covenant's a lot better than the old covenant. If Jesus performed his earthly ministry because he was God, then you and I could not follow his example because we are not God. You understand that? If everything that Jesus did because he was God, we can't follow Jesus' example because it's impossible to follow his example because we're not God. But if he did it as a man that was filled with the Spirit of God, a man that was sinless, a man that had the wisdom and the knowledge of God operating in his life, then we can follow that example because we've been born again. We've been made sinless. We've been made righteous. We receive the Spirit of God. We have the gifts of the Spirit that can flow in our life. We can follow his example because he did it as we do it. But we haven't renewed our minds to who we are in Christ. We don't understand that we are just like Jesus. John says this in his epistle. He says, as he is, so are you in this world. You are just like Jesus. He confined his ministry. Jesus confined his ministry. Jesus confined his ministry within the framework of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Confined because as the Son of God, Jesus was not required to operate in this framework. You understand that? Jesus did not have to do what he did, his miracles, just by depending on the Holy Spirit. He was God. He could have spoke things into existence. He could just did anything he wanted to if he operated in his deity. But he confined, he limited himself. You guys really understand, because people will take what I'm saying and make it say I'm not saying. Jesus was 100% God, but he became 100% man. He limited himself. He confined himself. And it was a choice that he made, right? Philippians 2, 5, 8 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." He did all of that stuff out of obedience, out of humbling himself. He did all that stuff for us. He was just like God. Look how the Mirror translation puts this. "The way Jesus saw himself is the only valid way to see yourself. His being God's was official. His sonship did not steal the limelight from the Father. Neither did his humanity distract from the deity of God. His mission, however, was not to prove his deity, but to embrace our humanity. Emptied of his reputation as God, he fully embraced our physical human form. Born in our resemblance, he identified himself as the servant of the human race. His love enslaved him to us. And so we have the drama of the cross in context. The man Jesus Christ, who is fully God, becomes fully man to the extent of willingly dying humanity's death at the hands of his own creation. He embraced the curse and the shame of the lowest kind of dying a criminal's death." Doesn't this just put a whole new revelation on God for you? His nature and what his willingness to do for us? God's Word translation, verses 6 and 7 of Philippians 2, it says, "Although he was in the form of God and equal with God, he did not take advantage of his equality. Instead, he emptied himself and taking the form of a servant by becoming like other humans, by having a human appearance." Jesus emptied himself of everything that made him God and became a human. The Voice translation of 6 and 7. "Though he was in the form of God, he chose not to cling to equality with God, but he poured himself out to fill a vessel brand new, a servant in the form of in form and a man indeed, the very likeness of humanity." Jesus is our perfect example. Jesus is redeemed. Man had to redeem themselves, and they were impossible. It was impossible for them to redeem themselves. So Jesus says, "I will go. I will redeem humanity. I will empty myself of my deity, of who I am, and pour myself into human flesh, and I will win the victory for them. I will redeem them and bring them back to you, Father." One purpose. Jesus deliberately confined himself to minister within the limits and the gifts of the Spirit. He did so for one purpose, that he might be the perfect example for you and me. Jesus is the perfect example of God's ideal plan for humanity. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, look just like Jesus. If you want to know what God's will is about having your needs met, Look at Jesus. If you want to know what God's will is for your life about sickness and disease, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God's will is for your life about forgiving those that have wronged you, look at Jesus. If you want to know the joy of the Lord and how to escape depression, look at Jesus. He is our example. He is our perfect example. And, you know, we joke about it, those bracelets, what would Jesus do? I think maybe we need to ask ourselves, in this situation I'm in right now, I need to look to Jesus because he is my example. What would Jesus do in this situation? And then do what Jesus did. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He who was, is. He who is, will be. There are no yesterdays and there are no tomorrows because he is the mighty I am. Jesus is I am right now. We don't have to fantasize. We don't have to fantasize about what would it be like to be walking with Jesus and seeing the miracles that he did. We don't have to fantasize and say, I wonder what it was like when the apostles on the day of Pentecost and the Spirit came down on them, or the lame man was at the gate and he raised him up and he came into the place leaping and bounding and praising God. We don't have to think about what it would have been like to travel with Paul and see the mighty things that Paul did, that, you know, he took aprons, handkerchiefs from him and that had his sweat on it, and they gave it to people, and they went out and laid them on sick people, and they were made well. What was it like? I just to see Peter walking down the street and people pulling people sick out onto the street, so that his shadow came upon people, they were made well. We don't have to fantasize about that, because he's the great I am. We don't have to think about yesterday. And we don't have to sit here and think about, you know, there's coming a latter rain. There's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. One day, someday down the road, God's going to mightily move in the earth. And we got to be prepared. We got to be ready. Because when that day comes, we got to be prepared for it. We got to stop talking about someday. The I am. Moving it now. The preparation is over. The cross ended the preparation. Holy Spirit is moving. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given. We're supposed to operate like Jesus. And, you might be sitting here thinking, well, this is good talk, but let's see this stuff. Well, you got to talk about it and believe it before you see it, right? Maybe that's what we're doing. Maybe we're talking about it. We're believing that, and we're going to receive it. Amen. Right? I'm not going to be a guy that's afraid to talk about the miraculous of God, the truth that's in the Word. Do you know how much we'd have to rip out if we stopped believing that God is a God that works wonders in the earth?
Amen.
Amen. This was just the foundational truths on the gifts of the Spirit. And next week, we're going to start start right off with the word of wisdom. And I'm going to limit myself because I want people to grasp this. I'm going to limit myself to one gift every week. So you can just think about that through the week rather than dumping a bunch of information on you. Start thinking about this, about how, you know, I can guarantee you that there's things that's happened in your life where there's been a divine communication from God in every single one of your lives. God's telling you something. Say something. Do something. Pray. Call so-and-so. You have a feeling, an unction. And start moving in those things. Start moving in those things because it's for our profit. Amen? And it's for the profit of everyone that's out there. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your divine revelation given to us through the Holy Spirit. And that was penned by Paul. And that was held secure for years upon years upon years, that we might have it today. That we wouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but we would have the Word of God to establish truth, to walk mightily. And God, I don't have words. I don't have words to articulate how grateful and just how amazed I am at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His great love and compassion for humanity, his willingness to pour himself out, empty himself, and become one with humanity for eternity. The only thing that we could do as a sign of gratitude is be like him, to strive to be like him, to walk in the Spirit as he walked in the Spirit, to bring glory to Jesus, that the whole world might come into this revelation of our union with God through him. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for what you're doing in this church and what you're going to do. And we say that you are the great I am, and we open ourselves to be obedient to what you'd call us to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and